first try, Gary Owen is inside the Dana Cortez Show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I had to read your bio to make sure it wasn't Owens.
No S.
As a Mexican American, we put an S on everything.
I mean, black people and Mexican.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
It's a minority.
You've been Owens your whole life.
It makes sense though, because nobody orders a churro.
Yeah, it's churros.
Churros.
Tacos.
Yeah, you don't order one tortilla chip.
Burritos.
One tortilla chips.
But do you go to the Walmarts?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right.
I know Mexican has one kid.
I got three, baby.
Oh. Mexicans, you just think grandma, more.
Grandma, 29. No. Okay, so now that we broke the ice, man, you came in here just chatting. I always wonder, especially someone of your stature, what you're going to be like when you come through the door because you're famous. And so sometimes people are cool. You're way cool. What do you attribute the longevity to your success? And I kind of think I know, but... It's been a lot. You've been on this for a minute, man.
I know, right? It's weird. I was just thinking, like, I see all the Tom Brady memes. He's been in the NFL over half his life.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I was like, man, I've been doing stand-up more than half my life now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you come to that point. I don't know. You just got to, you got to be funny, but keep up with the times, too. Like, I see sometimes I hate to say I'm an OG now, but the older comics, you know, the TikTok comes out and then Instagram. You got to keep up with that stuff.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? I'm not doing no dances, but what I did... I own a lot of my specials, so we just start cutting them up and putting clips on TikTok. I didn't realize I have a web guy, obviously, but I didn't realize I had a TikTok page. So after 6 months, and I looked at it, and I had like a million followers. And I had no clue.
I'm popping.
I'm more famous than I thought I was.
I know. And then I'd see people literally start going to my shows and go, oh, man, I saw you on TikTok. And they're like 23 years old. Yeah. I'm going, what? And now it's like, pushing 3 million, I'm like, and I don't do any skits hardly.
But that's amazing because you've reinvented yourself, like you said. But it's funny bits. You're still doing the same thing. You're just
staying
doing
relevant.
It the new way. You're relevant.
Yeah, some of it's dated. Like I can't believe the Suns let go of Dan Marley. Some of it's dated material. You know what I mean?
I'm only laughing because everybody's laughing.
Oh my God!
I have no idea what you just said.
Cardinals would be terrible if they just would. Get rid of Jake Plummer.
I'm lost right.
Like some of the bits are a bit dated. I can't believe the Bulls beat the Suns in the finals.
That's when the 23-year-old goes and asks Dad, "Yo, what does it mean?"
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously you're funny. A funny guy. What do you think about being in today's world, the politically correct? You could get canceled at any moment time. How hard is it to be a comedian and come up with bits and write? And do you fear that? Do you fear, I don't want to say the wrong thing, I might get attacked?
Well, they can't. Cancel culture came after me a few years ago. I don't even got to talk about the bit, but I think that's the
Let's
good
do.
Thing about stand-up. Nah, I can't do it. I can do it off air once he's my school. But I think, and that's the good thing about stand-up, because you go to a live show, like stand-up live, that's why we tell everybody to put their phones away, especially now. Because sometimes we're working out bits, and it might not be where it needs to be, and the bit might be 5 minutes, but somebody posts 30 seconds of it, of what they think is going to go viral, and then all of a sudden you got these people coming after you. But what I also know about cancel culture is the people that get mad and come after you, they were never going to pay to see me anyways.
Exactly.
They were
like,
never
they're
coming.
Looking for something. They're
I don't
for
care.
Something.
I don't. If you pay to see me and you send me a DM or a message, I didn't appreciate that. I'll interact because you spent money to see me. And I want you to come back. But if you're just going off about something, and most of the bits are so old, I'm like, you've never seen me clearly. That was from like 2008, that joke's from. Now you're mad?
Why is it that you think that people are so angry and want things to be so perfect? All of us, I mean, I don't know about you, but in my family, my grandma said crazy things. My mom said crazy things. It's the reality. And sometimes comedy and discussions we have on the radio, podcast, whatever we're doing, make light of some of the most uncomfortable situations, and they can be a teaching moment. Why don't we want to learn? Why do we just want to cancel people? By the way, cancel culture is not even real.
Mm.
It's stupid. It really is.
It's just people want to, I think people, honestly, they're probably not upset. It's just they want those clicks and those likes.
Yeah.
And that's the way to get it.
Validation.
Everyone, all the times I've gotten like, quote unquote, hate on the internet, I've never seen it in real life. I've never been at a Starbucks and somebody come up and says something off the wall, like, I didn't like that joke, or I didn't like you, or at the airport. It's never happened in person.
Yeah,
yeah. Damn. Where are these people at?
Can I take a picture?
But you also got to realize you have quote-unquote bots. I think they're real. Like, you knew, let's take the Brittany Griner situation.
Yeah.
So you got a black female, and you had the white male, the soldier, that's been over there too. And you knew if one got sent home and the other one didn't, you knew what was
Somebody
coming.
Was gonna be mad either
yeah, you knew
way.
It was gonna be like they left a white man behind. Yeah. They left a soldier behind. And if they brought him home without Brittany, it was gonna be they left a black woman behind. You knew that was coming. And that's the funny thing. I think the internet, honestly, people was prepared for that because it got talked about so much. That's why it didn't really take off like I thought.
No, yeah. You're right, because when I started telling people, you know, Ted Wheeler, another white armed serviceman, was released about 8 months ago by the Biden administration. Oh. Nobody talked about that. It's always got to be the controversial, let's divide, let's make this line. And the whole black and white world, that's a whole different thing. I talked about being Mexican-American. I don't think it's fair. I think that we should try to work together and come together and stop doing this. It makes me mad. I don't believe in cancel culture. We say whatever we want around these parts.
I don't know. I like the separation.
How about the divorce?
Yeah, yeah, I like it. I like it. I'm all about separating and dividing right now. My family, people.
I'm married to DJ Automatic.
We're
He's
married.
My co-host.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, no matter what, it's hard, though. I mean, how...
Hell yeah, it is.
How are you doing?
Oh, with the divorce?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're final. Oh. It's weird. I got the paperwork yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, I gotta sign.
Now you gotta pay for her,
I have
huh?
never looked forward to getting off the radio because I gotta sign my papers and send it back and get it notarized as soon as I leave here.
Wow, okay.
As soon as I leave here.
So you are okay. You're like, it's done, it's over, it's...
Because we're past the anger stage. This divorce went like everyone said it would go. You got the shock, the anger, and then you realize you calm down, and then cooler heads prevail, and then you realize, okay, we don't hate each other. You know what I mean?
It's not that you can't be married anymore.
We can't. We were roommates. We weren't husband and wife anymore. So you move on.
How long were you married for?
17.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we were together 23. Oh. 17.
And that was like...
It happens.
High school girlfriend or something? Or right after high school?
Just met her... It was funny. I always tell the story. Shaq introduced us.
Oh, no way.
She used to work for TWSM. When Shaq played for the Lakers, he had a record label and clothing line called TWSM. Mm-hmm. And so... I was just open mic in L.A., and he brought his staff out to the comedy store on Tuesday nights. Used to be the joint. I don't know if you know that. It was called Fat Tuesday. There's a documentary on Prime Video. Mm-hmm. On
now
it.
We can watch it.
But it's really good. But that was where I cut my teeth in L.A. It came up, and then he brought his staff out, and I met her one night. And then we basically talked for a year. Then we ended up dating, got married, had a couple kids.
We've talked about separation part aspect a lot on the show, too, especially from, you know, like a man's side, too. But for you, somebody who's going through it, what would be a piece of advice you'd give to another man who may be fresh off a divorce, too? What's something you kind of learned?
Or going through that initial part of the separation, you talked about the story. I mean, it's
my shocking. Wife was married before me.
I was married
so
before,
she's
and people always think, like, even if you're done, it's still hard. I don't care what anybody says. Even if you're not in love with that person, it still sucks.
Yeah, I think in the initial, you just, the other person can't do anything right.
Exactly.
And initially, you can't remember the good times. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just gotta, I don't know, the only thing that can help is time. It's just so raw in the beginning. Just, I would always tell people, just take a second before you send something or make that text or that phone call, you know, and you're going off. You know,
and
if
the text
there's no,
lives forever, man. The screenshots are there.
Yeah, if there's no malicious intent behind what you're saying, you know, I was very. I think both of us probably we sent some stuff. Probably wish we wouldn't have. You know, because you're mad. You're like, yeah. Well, you did this. But then you're like, okay, it wasn't that bad. And honestly, when we talk now, I miss those conversations. We're friends now, so now we can talk. We'll.
You guys still
now,
have kids
we'll
together,
like
so yeah, you still have to correspond with each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like now I'll find out. I'll get off the phone. Like, we just talked for like an hour. You know what I mean? And I wanted to meet somebody. I wanted to meet somebody with a lot of money, and I want to get married quick because then I don't have any more
you
alimony.
Have to pay alimony?
yeah. But I volunteered it. I didn't. We were gonna go to trial. It was getting messy, and lawyers getting away. So I just went, we were in mediation. I just told the lawyers, leave the room. I said, could you guys leave the room? And we hadn't had a chance to talk one-on-one. I just said, what do you need? What do we got to do? Because I don't mind if I got to overpay or whatever, just to get it over with. Because you can't, peace of mind, and I'm staying busy. I'm going to, you know, I'm working. So I was like, what do you need to be comfortable? Let's just get this over with.
I'm trying to find me a Gary Owen.
It wasn't. It's not a bad gig. Let me tell you, it's not a bad gig. She can't bet. She what she can't do is say I didn't take care of her. Yeah. She can't say I did that.
I know Automatic has a question for you, but before that, you said your friends. Could you see yourself double dating? Like you find somebody and she finds somebody.
We can't do that.
No, I think that's weird. When people get divorced and then they start going on dates.
Yeah, you can't, like, knocking it down after dinner.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's wild.
Okay, all right.
No, it can't be double dating.
What? You see some Hollywood people doing that.
No.
That's crazy.
You see some Hollywood folks.
I don't live in Hollywood.
Yeah. I was going to say, because you're from Cleveland, you said, right?
Cincinnati.
And, so when did you make the whole movement? Like, the one thing I always wondered about you, because I think you grew up like I did. You grew up a minority, basically, right? You grew up around a lot of black kids.
No, I grew up in a trailer park.
Oh, okay.
White. I'm talking broke white.
Broke white.
That's why when Def Jam came out and I started looking at, they were talking about government cheese and powdered milk. I went, we got that. What are you talking about?
Shoot, that block cheese makes the best enchiladas. I'm sorry.
Oh, she went Latino. We went grilled cheese. In the trailer park, we're like, it makes good grilled cheese. She went enchiladas.
I make amazing grilled cheese. So when did you know you were funny then? Like, what? How did you figure out, hey, I'm funny, I can actually do this?
People think I'm lying, and there's people I went to high school with. I told everybody. Everybody growing up.
So you knew in high school you were going to be a comedian?
I'm to like sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
I remember my first day of school in sixth grade, I was talking. My gym teacher said, well, looks like we got a comedian in the class. And there's something like along the line, you want to be a comedian? I was like, yeah. And he was just like, he had to backtrack. He went, whoa. He goes, well, no, not my class, basically. And he ended up being my varsity football coach in high school.
Of course he did, dude.
He tells people this day, he goes, dude, Gary called it. He called it from an early age.
From first grade.
But I was destined to be an entertainer. Like, there's a video of me sacking a quarterback in high school, and I moonwalked back to the huddle. And the coach pulled me off the field. He goes, what are you doing? I was like, what? And then
celebrating.
All the parents were laughing in the stands. And then he ended up putting his arms like, this is scary. What are you going to do?
Oh, man, I had a couple different questions, too, but I just want to ask you right now. Are the Bengals winning it this year, Gary, yes or no?
In fact, this is how confident I'm in they're going to be here. I'm going to be looking. I'm going to be going to all the hotel management this week looking for rooms. I got to find a black front desk worker. I was like, come on, baby. You know you got a room.
Comedy shows for the next 10 years.
You know you got a room. So any hotel managers out there, you want some free tickets to the show this weekend? Yeah. Give your boy a call, a DM. Because last time the Super Bowl was in Phoenix, I actually had a show here. I think Shaq did a show. Mm-hmm. The Shaq tour was here. This is the Seahawks-Patriots game. So it was like 8 years ago. And, man, they tried to put us at a resort like an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
I said, no, I got to be in the mix. So I said, I'll do a buyout. $396 for the La Quinta Inn.
Oh, no!
I was like, it was the only one.
But you took it, didn't you?
It was the only one I could stay. And then I told the dude in the front desk, I said, yo, I'm not paying for this pantry stuff. Like chips and water, don't. I don't want to come out here and I have another $30 on this bill. You know you're killing me right now. Every night I was taking chips and Hershey bars back to the room.
La Quinta's better than that place you stayed at the Super Bowl that time. He had to sleep with roaches.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it was called.
Hotel situation, but my next door, one guy was a pimp and then he had all his girls around
what
me.
What city was this?
In Dallas.
What was that? It was the one,
the Packers and
Steelers?
The freeze one? Yeah, the freeze one. Foes everywhere, yeah. That one where you were at in 2013, I DJed at that one too. I did the John Legend party, yeah.
Oh, nice. That you couldn't go anywhere that Super Bowl.
No.
The roads froze over and it was just like, it took an hour and a half to go anywhere.
So I was staying outside, but I don't want to talk too much about Dallas, but I was staying like outside of the uptown. It took me an hour and a half to get from the hotel just to get, and like most people didn't, I DJed a party one night because I DJed the whole week there. There's four people in the club. Like, they was like, yeah. Because there's just nobody anywhere. Yes.
That's what I noticed about that Super Bowl.
And I got paid my full go though.
That's all you want. But what I didn't realize about that Super Bowl was, and I don't know if this is true or not, what I've heard is like, it's basically like a coin flip, and then like one team stays on this side of town, and the other team stays on the other side of town. So at Addison, which is a suburb of Dallas, that's where the Packers was. And more on the Fort Worth side was where Steelers was.
Okay.
My hotel was like the season ticket holder Packer hotel. So everyone there was just cheesehead out.
Yeah, yeah.
Every woman was bigger than their husband. In height and
those
weight.
Midwestern women smoking
you saw all these like Vienna sausage finger dudes, chubby, fat, and then their wife come down looking like the linemen. It looked like all the men were kickers and all the men were all the women were tackles.
Automatics in Minnesota. I don't know what the hell he saw in me. I have no idea.
Crazy. Let's keep Gary Owen out of La Quinta and out of Glendale this year, dog.
Yeah.
Let's keep him in the mix.
Yeah, not looking for much.
Stand up live two shows tonight, yo.
Who inspired you? Comedian, just quick.
I wouldn't say a comedian. I would say Def Jam.
Oh, the show.
Def Comedy Jam? Yeah. That's what, HBO.
Because I was in high school when it came out, and I had never seen a reaction like that. Because, you know, you used to A&E at the Improv or Special or something like that. But I was like, whoa. But it wasn't like one person. It was just like, oh, this is one after one. And I was like, that's what I want. I want people running around the room going nuts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And then last question, because I know you got to go. Are you dating?
Ooh. I am.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad for you. I'm glad. Yep. Do you feel like
younger?
This is- Younger.
How much younger?
A lot.
Like 20 years?
Not almost.
Do you have anything in common with her?
Besides the sex.
A ton.
What? What besides the sex? About? No, seriously. Name one thing besides
both
the sex.
Both got kids. Both got eyes. Ears. Both of us got thumbs. And ten fingers,
I'm imagining
toes.
She probably has an amazing body too, right?
It's not bad.
It's
not bad, bro. I like this.
Younger. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying. I'm not going older.
Next time Gary Owen is inside the Dana Cortez show, he going to be married.
Oh, yeah. Maybe probably. More kids.
Probably. I got all these cougars in my DMs. I'm like, no. Those days are over. Because my wife is older than me. My ex is older than me. So I was like, man, as soon as we got divorced, all these cougars. I was like, I'm in my 40s. That means a cougar's pushing 70. I'm not coming to my room in a walker.
What am I doing with that? Dog.
Saying weird shit. You remind me of my first husband. God rest his soul. What? You're making me feel like it's 1985 and I'm at the Chaka Khan concert.
You've been giving me your granddaughter's number. All right, Gary.
Where am I at this weekend? We didn't even say.
Yeah, I know.
Stand up live. Two shows tonight.
You don't even care.
I do, but I want to make sure we pump it.
Stand up live. Two shows tonight. Two shows Saturday.
We're
going to
cut this up, Aaron, here locally. We're national. We want to just give you the plug all over the country. Yeah. You're just such a great person. You came in. You're just real. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Screw all that compliment stuff. I need a hotel room. Super Bowl week. I don't mind paying. I just need a decent hotel. Hey, Lakeith, you can have that.
Hit us up now if you are a manager of a hotel. Gary Owen's paying top dollar. It's the Dana Cortez
show. No, I didn't say top dollar.
Too late.